The Kobe earthquake, or the Great Hanshin earthquake, occurred on January 17, 1995 at 5:45 p.m. in the southern part of the Hyogo Prefecture in Japan, including the region known as Hanshin. It measured 6.9 on the moment magnitude scale and had a maximum intensity of 9 on the JMA seismic intensity scale. The tremors lasted for approximately 20 seconds. The focus of the earthquake was located 17 kilometers beneath its epicenter, on the northern end of Owaji Island, 20 kilometers away from the center of the city, Kobe. Up to 6,433 people lost their lives, and about 4,600 of them were from Kobe. Among major cities, Kobe, with its population of 1.5 million, was the closest to the epicenter and hit by the strongest tremors. Kyoto was also hit by strong tremors. This was Japan's worst earthquake in the 20th century after the Great Kanto earthquake in 1923. The Kobe earthquake caused quite a bit of damage, and it was very widespread. Structures irreparably damaged by the quake included nearly 400,000 buildings, numerous elevated road and rail bridges, and 120 of the 150 quays in the port of Kobe. The quake also triggered around 300 fires, which raged over large portions of the city. Today I'm going to be talking to Lisa Mullaney, who was living in Kyoto, Japan, when the earthquake occurred. Okay, let me start off by asking you, what were you doing in Japan in 1995?
I'd moved to Japan in 1992. And by 1995, I had been studying Japanese full-time for several years. I was still working part-time at an English language school. I was the head teacher by that point and developing the curriculum. And I was also working in a marketing communications firm.
And did you move there alone, or did you go with someone or had friends there already?
I had a friend who was already living there, and so when I moved there, he was there already.
And what part of Japan were you living in?
I was living in Kyoto.
Do you remember where you were when the earthquake happened?
So you're talking about the Kobe earthquake of 1995?
Correct.
So I was, at that point, we were living in a small apartment, and I was home asleep, and the person I was living with, who happens to be your father, was living just outside of Tokyo. He was working with a temple carpenter on a project there. It was before 6 o'clock in the morning, so I was asleep when the earthquake happened.
Do you remember the earthquake at all, or did you actually sleep through the earthquake?
It was a 7.9 on the Richter scale, so no one in the region slept through it. I felt the earthquake start, and earthquakes were fairly common there. But the earthquake started, and it woke me up, and I thought, earthquake. And then the shaking movement, which was almost like, you know, a boat rocking, kept going, and I thought, big earthquake. And I went to try to stand up to get to the door, to prop the door open so that I could get out of the apartment if there was bad damage, and I couldn't even walk across the floor.
What was your first instinct when you thought earthquake? Did you think maybe I should go hide somewhere, or did you have safety precautions in place?
As I said, earthquakes are quite common, so the apartment was Japanese style, so there was no furniture that went up high on the walls, nothing heavy above my head. But I knew that if the door was blocked by debris, that I wouldn't be able to get out. So my instinct was to try to get to the door to open it. But as I said, I couldn't, the shaking was too severe. I couldn't move from where I was.
So you stood in the middle of your house while the earthquake happened?
I couldn't move. I couldn't stand up. So it was, you know, things were being thrown across the room. The fish, I had a goldfish flew out of its tank. You know, the electricity went off.
And approximately how long did the whole earthquake last?
The actual earthquake only lasted about 30 seconds, which sounds short, but it's actually pretty long. But the shaking that I felt was a little bit longer, and some people, we had a friend who lived in Kobe, he lived in a high-rise building that was on infill, so that's land that's been built over formerly areas that were formerly water, formerly the bay, and the shaking there lasted a couple of minutes. It was really intense for them, especially if they were up high.
Did the goldfish survive?
Yes, I think I did put the goldfish back in the tank, actually. That was the least of my worries, though.
That's glad to hear. And how about after the earthquake? What do you remember
So immediately after the shaking stopped, when I was able to get up, I went to the door and I opened the door, and my neighbor was coming out of his apartment. And I can't remember what his job was, but he had the sort of job where he needed to go out right away because of the earthquake. It meant that he was going to be urgently needed. So I just opened the door and I said to him in Japanese, you know, that was an earthquake, which is kind of an understatement because it was the biggest earthquake that had happened in Japan since 1923. And he said just basically yes. And I remember I started crying because he hadn't said, like, are you okay? Or we'd had no bonding over it at all. He was just, he went to leave, and the trains actually weren't running. Everything was shut down. There was glass everywhere. And one thing they do in Japan, whenever there's an earthquake, you can turn on the radio or turn on the TV and immediately see where it was and what the magnitude was. And the power had gone off, but it came back on, actually, where I was, and I turned on the TV. And at that time, they were showing that the epicenter was actually in Kyoto, where I was living, because the equipment in Kobe had completely been blown out. So the machines that registered and reported that didn't even exist anymore.
Was there anyone that you called right after the earthquake to check if they were okay?
So the first thing I did, actually, we didn't have cell phones then. So the first thing I did is I picked up my landline and I called my parents because I knew that the earthquake was big enough and that people had probably died, that they'd want to know that I was okay. I left a message for them just to say there'd been a big earthquake and that I was fine. And I couldn't call Peter. And Peter was outside of Kyoto, my now husband, then partner, and the earthquake was so big that it was felt as far away as Tokyo. And the people in Tokyo thought that the epicenter was closer to them because that's the place that the Japanese had been expecting a big earthquake. And then my next calls were to the teachers who I supervised, to tell them they didn't need to come into work. The trains weren't running, and I called my boss, and we figured out kind of what to do about all of that.
How bad was the damage after the earthquake, and how did this affect the people in Kyoto?
Over 6,000 people died. The city of Kobe was pretty much unreachable by train or by car for a couple of days. In Kyoto, all of the train lines stopped. There was a lot of damage to the train lines. A major freeway collapsed. It impacted all of us. We were all very sad. People didn't get their information the way they do now from phones and computers as much. It was through word of mouth and TV. People had computers, but there wasn't really, the internet wasn't as much information available at that time. Friends started loading up trucks with water and blankets and supplies. It was in the winter. To take to Kobe, we had really good friends who lived in Kobe and had families in Kobe. It was just, days and weeks of of sadness and surprise. We had three people come and move in with us, even though we had a very small place, because they couldn't live in their places in Kobe anymore. And it took quite a while to get back to normal.
Who were the people that moved in with you, and how did you find them?
They were other expats who we knew. One of them is still a friend who we're keeping close touch with. I mean, we're still in touch with all of them, but one's still a really close friend. They were people we knew from college and also people we knew just from living in the area. Just pretty much people were taking in anyone who needed a place to stay. I don't know anyone who didn't take in people after that.
And did you know anyone who was injured in the earthquake or who knew someone that was injured?
Yeah, one of our good friends, Koichi, who you also know, his family home, two family homes in Kobe, and the houses in Japan, the older houses were, the walls were made of wattle and daub, and the roofs were often made of clay tiles, and the way the bottom structure worked, a lot of the houses collapsed, and then there were a lot of fires. And his family, one of their houses was on a hill, and that house had some damage, but wasn't completely destroyed, and the lower house was completely destroyed, and his grandmother was badly injured. But as I said, over 6,000 people died, so most people knew someone who was impacted in some way.
I'm very sorry to hear that. And do you still ever think about this earthquake to this day? Does it come to mind?
Can you pause it? Yeah, absolutely, I think about it. Since then, I've been in smaller earthquakes, and I think it took me a long time, you know, because there were still there were aftershocks, and then years later, other earthquakes. And then I moved back to America, and I lived in San Francisco, where we still had smaller earthquakes. And I think having been in that big one just made me more sensitive, and my knees would actually get wobbly. We had one here in Atlanta, was it last year? There was like a small earthquake, and I was stunned that, you know, once you know what it feels like, you kind of recognize the feeling. But it's, I mean, it's not something you easily forget. Whole buildings collapsed into, like, five-story buildings fell into the street. The highway collapsed. There were fires. It was a big, big deal.
Thank you so much for your time. All right, again, that was Lisa Mullaney on the Kobe earthquake of 1995.